You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on sunny Cocoa, Florida. Very hot, by the way. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet. Right, Miss Maggie?
That's right. And you can hear it online. And past show links are also available there. We have a beautiful show planned for you today, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, and I have to say that Maggie's eyes are looking a little bit cross-eyed and red at this point because she watched the entire film that we are going to be talking about. She was actually finishing up in the parking lot when I drove in. Our show today, as you all know, the folks who are tuning in for the first time or if you are a repeat guest, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we speak with people right here in Brevard County, Florida, the state of Florida, all over the United States, and all over God's magnificent planet. People call in and we speak about financial literacy, credit card debt, why you should vote, why you want to be an author, maybe you want to make a film, you want to sing, you want to dance, you want to talk about solar energy, save the world. Our goal on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is to make the world a better place. And I believe it's our inherent right to leave the planet a better place than we found it. And how else can we do that but through shared experiences and communication? Right, Maggie?
Absolutely. And I think today's guest will tie all of that together for everyone that's listening in.
Right. And so our first guest today is a gentleman named John Shevitz. And he is a writer and a director. And he has this beautiful film called Roses on a Vine that you guys are going to be really, really excited to hear about this film. It's an amazing film. It's about a father and a daughter story, a father who is doing his very best, even though he has quite a past, to make sure that his little girl is well taken care of and she would not end up in the foster care system. So he is doing everything possible to make that happen. The film is very emotional and it's quite good. Maggie watched the whole thing. I watched part of it. And then our second guest, as you all know, we do a lot of charitable things here in town. And one of the charities that I support, it's called Neighbor Up Brevard. And they're right here in the Lake Washington, Booker T. Washington area. And Jennifer Quartz is here, and she's the development director. And she'll be chatting with us the second segment about all the wonderful things that are happening there. And you know what? Less crime. People paying attention to our community right here in Brevard and giving back. So we'll hear all about the docks and the new apartments they built and helping children after school, all that good. So welcome to our show, Jen.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Maggie, I'm going to let you introduce our guest if you want to. Maggie is busy still finishing up her film. So for our listeners who are tuning in, John Shevitz, I hope I'm saying it correctly, is a Los Angeles-based writer and director, originally from Baltimore, and he specializes in high-concept, character-driven stories that blend grounded emotional stakes in bold commercial premises. And John is on the phone. He's calling in from Los Angeles, California, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about this film. So, John, take it away. Good morning. Well, I know, is it morning where you're at?
It is. Well, good morning.
Good morning. And thank
Hi, John.
You. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on, because Maggie and I were just talking. The film has been released, and a lot of people are talking about it. I gave the link to a few of my coworkers, and Maggie, when she bought it on Amazon this morning, she finished it up in her car. talk to us a little bit about the film and what inspired you to make this film.
Sure. Well, we're sort of at the end of a long journey. We originally shot the film during summer of 2023 in Los Angeles. And so it took about 3 years to get it fully across the finish line and released so that everyone can actually see it. So it's always exciting when people finally see the film that you've spent so many years working on. So thank you for watching it. Thank you for sharing it. You know, where this film, sort of the kernel of the idea came from, it really was me at home looking out my window and seeing in real life a father and a daughter pull up on a scooter making a food delivery. And, you know, it appeared to be a rented scooter. The girl was, you know, probably maybe 6 or 7 years old, and she was hanging onto the back of the scooter rather precariously. And I thought to myself, here's a guy who's obviously a single dad, may not be able to afford healthcare, and he has to bring his very young daughter on the back of a scooter with him just to make food deliveries to survive. And when I saw that, it stuck with me. And almost immediately I was like, you know, that seems like a story worth telling. So that is really the core of the inspiration for how this film came about.
Well, you know, I think like that sometimes. Sometimes I'll see like a person on a roof. And I don't know why, but I'm wired this way. I'll say, oh, I wonder if that guy has health insurance. God forbid he falls off that roof, you know? Or I'll say, oh, I wonder if he has a cooler with water up there because he can get dehydrated. And then my mind starts going, well, who is this guy? Is he, where is he from? And how did he end up on this house? Does he work for someone or does he have his own company? And I start thinking, well, does his children have a good school to go to? Well, how many teachers are in that school? Do they have a good classroom? And I start thinking about the guy on the roof, and I have a whole story about his life by the time I hit the next stop sign.
You have a storyteller brain.
Yeah, I do. I think I do. I could take anything and spin it. But Maggie here has a question for you because she just finished a film.
Yes. So, John, I'm glad that you're here with us today. Why was it important for you to make this? Why was it important for you to make this film?
Sure. You know, that's a really easy question for me to answer because, you know, I've been in L.A. for 17 years, seeing, you know, Hollywood up close and personal. I've been a movie lover and, you know, sort of a film buff my entire life. And I love all sorts of movies. But the thing that I really, even to this day, see missing from the films that are coming out of Hollywood are stories about real people and their real life struggles. It's just not something you see that often. And I felt like, you know, those are characters that need to be seen, especially because so many people go through economic struggle and I feel like don't see themselves represented in films that come out of the industry.
Yeah, especially nowadays, anybody you talk to, they will tell you, you know, about gas prices and food prices, and they will tell you how certain things that is affecting them in their community. So you're right, the everyday person, they want to see more films like the one you made.
And what are you hoping people will take away from the film once they've watched it and maybe have more empathy, or what is
I think empathy is probably a good one. I mean, you know, everyone's going to get something different out of the film when they watch it. Some people may get the closeness of the father-daughter relationship. They may get themes of sacrifice and the things that Billy, the father, was willing to go through in order to support his daughter. But you never really know what people are going to get out of it. Although I will say, I mean, first and foremost, I hope when you watch it, you're entertained. Right. That is sort of the primary function. And beyond that, yeah, of course. I mean, showing people who are going through things that real life people go through every day, I think can help us see the world and see our lives through a different lens than through somebody else's perspective. And empathy often is something that comes out of that.
Right. And John, the story takes some real unexpected turns. Roses on the Vine is indeed a story of many things, of loss, of love, of parenthood, childhood, And you've got desperation, violence, hope, growth, and redemption. And the theme of the entire movie is about compassion. And you didn't, nothing is overdone, but one of the things that you brought out in that film, which I think is really good, is being a single dad, a single parent, but a dad. We often hear about the single moms, but the single dad we don't hear a lot about. And you brought that out.
It's certainly less common. The archetype, the trope is always the single mother, more or less. And God bless the single mothers. God bless all the single parents out there, whether you're a mother or a father. But certainly, economic struggle, supporting a child, supporting a family, supporting a household, all these things are difficult enough for most people as it is. And it gets compounded 10 times that if you're a single parent. So, that is certainly something that I wanted to highlight. And then, fathers, single fathers, again, not really the common trope that you see in these kinds of stories. And so it felt like an opportunity, especially a single father with a daughter, right? Mm-hmm. I think, girls are obviously sweeter, but they're also more delicate. And I think any father's instinct would be to protect their daughter and maybe, try to shelter them a bit more than if they had a little boy. Yeah. So I think, given the circumstances of Billy's life, makes it infinitely harder.
Go ahead.
I was just curious what impact this film had on you personally, on yourself, as you went through the process and then telling the story. Like, when you watch the film yourself, how do you come away?
Wow. How much time do you have?
About 22 minutes.
Well, we enjoy talking with you, so we'll have you now and then again later on.
That sounds lovely. Thank you for the great question. I have so much wrapped up in this film. Not just the narrative, but my own life. Having spent 17 years in L.A. pursuing a filmmaking career, being, an outsider, someone from essentially a small town, moved to L.A. with big Hollywood dreams. And, I've spent basically my entire life trying to, move that ball across the finish line. And so the biggest thing for me has really just been getting this film done. Getting your first feature film across the finish line, getting distribution, getting it released, having people actually watch and connecting with an audience. That for me has been really the greatest experience in my life and something that I've worked towards for so many years.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really, really nice to get there. And when you spend as long as I have trying to really just get one on the board, it's an incredibly gratifying experience to have. But as far as the story and, the sort of the effect on me, it goes beyond sort of the themes of the story itself. But, I'm obviously not from Los Angeles, but I love L.A. deeply. And in a lot of ways, Roses on the Vine is also a love letter to the city that has become my home. There's probably too many things about this film that I could really riff on as far as how it's affected me. But certainly the biggest one is just it being my first film, getting it out there and finding an audience.
Well, congratulations. Yes. It's beautifully done.
Yeah, and for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with writer-director John Shavitz. How do we say your name? What's the right way to say it?
Shavitz? It is actually Shavitz.
Shavitz.
But everyone gets it wrong, so you're not alone.
Yeah, yes. And his movie is called Roses on a Vine, and my co-host today is my good friend Maggie. Maggie, thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, Maggie Hickson.
This was perfect.
She's awesome, and we're just so intrigued by you. So John, tell us a little bit the realities of filmmaking. I mean, there's a lot of pros and there's a lot of cons. And how did you pull it off? Because your story is from Baltimore to LA with this big dream. And here you are. You did it. We're so proud of you. Tell us about the realities.
I think a lot of people have generally glamorous ideas of the film industry. And I think that's not surprising, given that most of what we see from the film industry is the red carpets and the premieres and the parties and the glitz and the glam and all the awards and all the stars and celebrities and all that stuff. They really are the face of Hollywood. But behind all of that, even for big A-list people that you wouldn't necessarily expect, the grind of getting any project done, let alone your first film, is really a monumental task, even when you have big studio money behind you. In fact, sometimes it's even harder, I think, because the stakes are so much higher and you have so many other people who are invested in it financially and otherwise. But yeah, I mean, this is the work that I love. I've dedicated my life to being a storyteller and an artist, and there are so many things that are rewarding and incredibly satisfying about the work that I do. And oftentimes it comes from the work itself. Really just sitting down and writing stories, getting words on the page, working out different new concepts, going through production, casting, finding actors, being on set, working with them, finding the best way to shoot a scene. There is so much that is fun. I like to say in production, which oftentimes can be a lot like going into battle, although not literally, being on a film set, especially over a long period of time, and even over a short period of time, it's the hardest fun you'll ever have.
Yeah, hardest sort of fun you'll ever have. Okay. Later, Jen, you'll be able to relate to that with the work that you do.
And the film is 80 minutes long. Who helped you to cast all the people for the film? Because you had a really lovely girl for the daughter and for the father. How did you get, did you have to go through a casting agency, or are these people that you knew?
We had the most amazing casting director in Sarah Katzman. She has worked on some of the biggest Hollywood movies you can imagine. She is the sweetest person I have ever met. And were it not for her, I think we would have been in a much different position. We got the best actors. She helped us whittle down hundreds of submissions down to, you know, a manageable amount where I could reasonably identify the best actors. Sarah Katzman, look her up. She's incredible.
Wonderful. The film deals with poverty, debt, the possibility of foster care, maybe some illegal activities, and the pressures of single parents. Were there any particular real life experiences that you brought into this film, social issues that affected your life or maybe influenced you in any way?
Sure. Well, I mean, I've been through tough times myself. I think most of my life I have had some, I wouldn't call it a fixation, but certainly everyone worries about money. We're all always worried about money. And I think living in poverty generally is not the most appealing thing, and is something that I consider a personal fear of mine. And also, you know, even in my own life with my, you know, my formerly deceased parents, you know, we've all sort of been through things in life that are economically difficult, right? And I think seeing those kinds of things up close and personal, not just in my own life, but in my family, and seeing it with complete strangers. I'm the type of person that can't walk down the street and see a homeless person and not think, gosh, I really wish I could help that person in a substantive way that would get them off the street. I'm just that kind of person.
Right. And then you probably wonder how the person became homeless to begin with.
You wonder all those things.
Yes.
And so for me, it's like, yeah, I mean, not only have I been there, but I worry about permanently being there, right? It's a really hard life. And if I had a child in that situation, how much harder would it be? You know, it's incredibly difficult. And I've always been someone who was able to empathize with people going through situations like that. It's because so many people do. It's real, and it matters to represent these kinds of characters and stories.
So John, when you finally saw Cameron, I want to say Copperwaith and Madeline Sinclair, when you finally saw them together and they brought to life Billy and Hazel, were you surprised that the casting of these two actors actually gave life to Hazel And her dad, Billy?
I don't know that I was surprised, because Cameron Cowperthwaite and Madeline Sinclair are two incredibly brilliant actors. And I have to note, Madeline was only 7 years old when we shot this film. Okay. So as a young actress, she is wise beyond her years. And I'm incredibly excited to see, you know, both what she and Cameron have in store for the future of their careers. I wouldn't say I was surprised, though.
Yeah.
They were so good. I was like, oh, these actors are going to work great together. The one wild part is always, especially when you're working with a minor actor, are they going to connect on a real level? Are they going to like each other? Are they going to have fun working with each other? And that was where we were so incredibly blessed. Cameron and Madeline took to each other right away. It was almost as if they really were family.
Yeah.
So I couldn't have asked for a better.
Yeah. Like my mother would say, they were a good match, a good fit.
Yes.
So the title Roses on a Vine, it's intriguing, right? And what does the title mean to you, and how does that connect to the actual story? Because I'm trying to figure out how you came up with that title.
Sure. So it's actually very simple. It's a bit of a metaphor for me. If you want to look at people as kind of roses with, you know, flowers at the top and thorns beneath the surface, that really is the metaphor that I'm playing with here. It's like Billy and Matt and Hazel both have characteristics that are less than desirable. Madeline can be incredibly mischievous. Billy has a checkered past. He's done things and has done things he wish he hadn't and wish he wishes he could change. And there are things that he would like to not go back to. And on the surface, you see normal people trying to live their daily lives. And it's beneath the surface where you see the thorns. And so really the title is just a metaphor for Billy and Hazel.
I like that.
Yeah.
We can use that in our own lives.
Well, you know, Maggie and I like to travel. And if ever there's like an award ceremony in L.A., because my son lives in L.A., we will be coming to join you. You just have to tell us.
To have you there.
Even if you don't have a ceremony, we will just come
we'll
out
just
there.
Come out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we're gonna
Why
go.
Not?
We're gonna Let's dress go. Up and come find you.
We're gonna dress up and come find you.
You let me know, please.
John, you know what? I was just curious, since we were, you know, talking about our lives and personal things. Do you have a daughter of your own?
I don't. I'm unmarried, and I have no kids. I actually get that question a lot. You know, people watch this movie, they go like, are you a father? Like, were you ever a father?
Because all that does go through your mind. Okay. I was looking at your Instagram profile while I was watching Roses on the Vine, and I was just wondering.
Curious. Yeah.
Well, I can square that circle, though. One of the things that I've wanted to do more than anything in life, and sort of the reason why I get up in the morning, is to one day have a family of my own and have kids. So it is something that, even though I haven't had a chance to do yet, it is something that is important.
Well, I sure
so
hope it happens for you.
Yeah.
I sure hope it
Thank
happens
you.
For you. We have a few minutes left in the segment, and I was just wondering, how did you end up going from Baltimore to Los Angeles? Like, what was that like for you 17 years ago?
Wow. You know, have to remember.
A lot happened.
You just gave us your age.
I know. You have aged me. I'm 600,000 years old. It was September 2009. I was actually only a couple years out of college. And I had spent about 2 years working for a production company in D.C., doing a lot of video and that kind of stuff for the federal government. And that was fun. But, you know, entertainment was always the thing that I wanted to do. And so I just sort of woke up one day and was like, huh, maybe I'm going to move out to L.A. And I packed up my car, and me and my dad drove all the way across the country together. You know, we did some sightseeing along the way. I think we stopped at Elvis's house, went to the Grand Canyon, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, I mean, the rest is kind of history. But it really was just like one day I woke up and was like, you know, I think I've spent enough time here in this job. I want to pursue the bigger entertainment filmmaking thing. And I packed up my car and I left.
Well, your dad is a better person than my husband. When my son decided to go to L.A., he just graduated from UCF with a degree in micro molecular biology. and called us and said, I'm going to L.A. I think I want to be in film and acting and this and that. And we're like, what? We didn't speak to him for years. And he ended up in the brewery. I think you know where the brewery is.
So he left.
And us, and we were mad. We were so upset. We thought the kid would stay here and, you know, try to get into med school or maybe get a master's. And he took off and he never came back. L.A. is a drug. When you're there, you never come back. People know how to make money. So he's living out there. He's not in the brewery anymore. He's, you know, got married and he has this, a nice house out there and he's doing well in Hawthorne. But yeah, I met a lot of people just like you in the brewery. They had dreams. Mm-hmm. There are so many artists and singers and authors and people there that just had dreams to go to L.A.
Well, that's the thing. I actually do joke about my father, rest his soul. He was incredibly supportive and encouraging. He believed in me before even I did. And that's awesome. The roles been reversed.
Yeah.
And my son had gone to me and said, I'm going to move to LA and be a filmmaker.
So,
I would have said, no, you're not. You're going to go to law school or medical school or get a real job.
My kind of guy. But but anyway, I'm so proud of you and I'm proud of my son too, because I just love the people I've met in LA. So here's the thing. In the film, your film, Roses on the Vine, Billy became involved in illegal activities because of his circumstances. How did you approach showing us the choices that he made without actually portraying him as a really bad guy? Because you did that beautifully in the film.
I agree.
Thank you for that question. That's one of the hardest things to do in storytelling is when you have a character who really does something that you would not do yourself, something you don't approve of. Certainly in Billy's case, it's not evil. It's not wrong, but it is illegal. And I think also there are people who could make the argument that he did actually endanger his relationship with his daughter by doing that. But I think when you show a character that is so backed into a corner and really they have no choice, and the thing that they're doing, though it may be morally ambiguous, if not the wrong thing to do, you understand the reasons why they're doing it. And because you can relate to them on that, I think you walk away not disliking the person and actually kind of understanding their plight.
Oh, my.
I felt that.
Wow.
I really did.
So, John, if you could have every person in America see one message or find a message after they watch Roses and Divine, what would you want that message to be?
I think the message would be that sacrifice is worth it.
Oh, that's good.
Really, if you have to set certain things aside in your life, even compromise your own morals, as Billy unfortunately has to do, although I won't spoil it more than that. That is a real sacrifice. But in the end, knowing that you did what you had to do to get what you wanted is worth it.
All this from watching two people take out food.
Right.
Imagine that, Maggie.
Yes.
John just sat there and wrote a whole story watching these two folks.
So with that, I think now that we have everyone's curiosity about Roses on the Vine stirred up, and would you let our listeners know where they can download?
You can find Roses on the Vine. It's available for rent on Amazon and Fandango. It's also free to watch on Tubi and Plex and other ad-supported platforms. The easiest way to find it is just to search on one of those platforms for Roses on the Vine, or you can Google Roses on the Vine movie and it will come up.
Well, thank you for being here. We wish you all the luck and best success in the world. It's been really inspirational to chat with you.
Yeah. Yes,
John. Thank you so much for having me.
And we're going to bring you back on in a few months to tell us about what's next in your film in making business, and what should we expect? A documentary, another feature film, whatever. We'll have you on because our listeners enjoy listening to people like you.
Excellent. Sounds great. I look forward to it.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with our second segment.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, really hot Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. We're here in the studio with the nice air conditioning. Danny's taking care of us here. And it's a really great second half that we have coming up. The first was really inspiring. If you missed it, we spoke to Sean Shivitz, who wrote and produced Roses on the Vine. So check that out, and let's get into the second segment.
Right, and so our second segment, our good friend Jennifer Quartz is here, just like the clock, Quartz. That's how I remember, Jennifer Quartz. And Jennifer is the development director for one of our really wonderful nonprofits here in Brevard County, Florida, called Neighbor Up. And it is a nonprofit that is focused on long-term community development, not short-term. You know how a lot of people just focus on what's happening now, but not later? Not Neighbor Up. And it was founded in 2001 and operates under the legal name, the Brevard Neighborhood Development Coalition. And what I find intriguing about this is they actually care about what's going on there. So thank you, Ms. Jennifer, and thank you for being on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Neighbor Up.
I got involved. I moved to Florida a little over 2 years ago and have been involved with nonprofit. And I really, it's really, nonprofit's really near and dear to my heart. I like going to work and doing something that will help the world, not just collecting a paycheck. So I was looking at nonprofits. I had previous experience. And when I found out about Neighbor Up Brevard and everything that they focus on, it just really had my heart. It's the affordable housing. It is the children's programs. We have a Gifts from the Heart Christmas program. So the three just really tore at my heart. And I was honored to be interviewed. And then I'm honored to have the position.
Well, you know what? My good friend Maggie Hickson is co-hosting today because Ellen O'Neill is off. And Maggie and I enjoy attending events in town where we know that our money, our hard-earned money, is being put to great use. And we attended that gala, right, Matt?
We did.
And we had a great time.
Beautiful evening at Bonita Ranch.
Yes.
It was a beautiful setting, but it was also heartwarming and inspiring to know about the work that's going on right here, right in our neighborhood.
Right.
It's
in the Booker T. Washington area. And, you know, years ago when people heard about the Booker T. Washington area, people spoke about the underprivileged, the underserved. They spoke about crime. And people were afraid to walk in that neighborhood because, you know, number one, there's a cemetery there, too. Nobody wants to walk near no cemetery in the night. I know I won't. I'm superstitious. I feel like a ghost will come for me. But that neighborhood looks great now. So talk to us a little bit. There is the dock where they have children after school and before school with their homework and guidance and all that. So talk to us about some of the services and programs that are offered. So
we do have two services with the children. We have an aftercare program, and then we also had a summer camp that just wrapped up. So the doc, we have children, two different areas. We have kindergarten through fifth grade, and then we have sixth grade through senior. And we offer all kinds of extracurricular activities. We just open their eyes to what is available out in the wild world.
Yeah.
We have homework help. We have tutors. And then we also have guest speakers that come in and let children know what is out there, what opportunities are out there. We work with job training, so not everybody is going to be college-bound, but we do have a lot of college-bound children there. A lot of those are first-generation children. We also work with the military and also job training just to see where they belong. And we work on the whole child. It's not just the grades, but it's also the social aspects. It is mentally, physically, and financial. We work on the whole child to have them ready to succeed once they are out of the neighborhood.
Right. And what I like about Neighbor Up is you guys, you believe in taking care of the entire neighborhood, and you want them to thrive spiritually, economically, socially. And we are grateful to have you all in our midst because there are so many nonprofits that does the same thing but different ways, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what you've already accomplished for this year.
I know we had 18 units that we have had available for since 1920, I believe. I'm sorry, 2020. And then we broke ground on 8 more units that should be habitable by December of this year, if not a little bit earlier. And that is 18 families that are already thriving, and then we'll have 8 more units. We have 2-bedroom and 3-bedroom, and it is meant for transitional housing, if that is what you're interested in, but we do not have any time limits. And so if you are there, you can live there for the rest of your life. But we do have neighborhood programs that will help the families that live there and also in the neighborhood where you can come in, and we'll have a lunch and learn where we talk about finances, we talk about health, we talk about opportunities, job training. So it's encompassing everything for the families that live there, the families in the neighborhood, and then also the parents of the children that attend the doc.
And it is faith-based.
It is faith-based, yes.
Monthly tours.
Yes, and we have a monthly tour the third Thursday of every month. We have one this Thursday. I would love for everyone listening to
on Thursdays.
On this Thursday, yes. But our next one is this Thursday. It is August 20th. It is at 10 a.m. I would love for anyone listening to come this month. If you can't make it this month, we will have another one in September. It was September 17th. And it really is the best way to see everything that we have available, how it all intertwined, and how it works on the whole child, the whole person, the whole community.
Fantastic. And tell us about the Community Partners campaign that you have.
We also have a Community Partners campaign, and this is a goal of having 50. We're currently at 50 monthly donors. We want to be at 100, so we want to double where we're at now. And a community partner is someone who gives monthly. And the benefits of giving monthly is that it is plannable, it is in your financial planning, and it just keeps you involved year-round. So we really, really are having a push. That'll be 100 donors by the end of the year.
Is there a minimum amount that you need to donate?
There is not a minimum amount. You could donate $5 a month. You could donate $5 million a month.
And be a community partner.
Correct, yes.
That's wonderful.
And you know what? Tell us a little bit about how all these programs are funded. Because, you know, there's so many nonprofits in Brevard, right?
Correct.
And I'm sure a lot of it comes from the gala and the activities and the things you guys are having. And Maggie, is there something about a breakfast that they're having? You have like a community breakfast?
Yes, we
in
do.
November?
We have an anchor breakfast on November 6th. We are currently looking for sponsors. We're planning on 200 plus people attending. So it is a great way to get involved with the community.
Is that a Friday, November?
It is a Friday, yes.
Oh, good. So, Maggie, we could probably attend.
Yes, you can.
Because I'm off
and
on Fridays.
And it's at the Crown Plaza, Oceanfront, Melbourne.
Yeah. We like to do that there.
Yeah.
I do as well.
So, you are the development person, right?
Correct.
So you see a lot of kids that come in that needs assistance in the evenings and stuff. Do you have any stories, any success stories that you can tell us about children or families who are enrolled in the program?
One thing that I think is just amazing, if the children have stayed with the doc through their senior year in high school, we have had zero teen pregnancies, 100% graduation rate, and zero arrests. So I think that is just amazing statistics.
Yes. How many children participate in the DOC?
We have 25 spots available for the kindergarten through fifth grade, and then another 25 for the sixth grade through senior. And there is no cost for the aftercare. There is a $10 a week charge for our camp, but the aftercare, there's no stipulations on income. If you can have your child arrive there, if you have transportation, they're welcome to come 5 days a week.
And do you see that most of the children stay in the program?
We do.
Over time?
We find a lot stay. And then another thing that we focus on is kids that have been in the older groups. They will come back and they will help. They will tutor with the younger children.
Yeah.
And another thing on the college bound, a lot of these are first generation children. First college children.
Right.
And we will have people that have graduated, gone on to college, and then when these kids go on their tour, they will help with the tour.
So
it's very emotional, but it's very realistic that this person was in school with me at the doc last year, and now they're in college. If he or she can do it, so can I. So
yeah.
I think that
so
is a great
something tie-in. To someone to look up to.
Right.
And that's
so you touch a little bit. You said zero pregnancies.
Correct.
I like that because, you know, I am one of those persons, and I'm sure you are, Maggie, too, that I believe in comprehensive sex education at appropriate ages as well as academic and trade. And I like when nonprofits promote that as well. And so I have to applaud you all for that.
Thank you.
So one of the things I noticed that when you all ask for donation, and it's so nicely that you ask for it, you say donate from your heart.
Correct.
Because you're saying to the donors to donate from your heart, because the money that we give and through galas or fundraising or whatever it is, it helps not only during the year with the after-school program, before programs to feed a family, but it also helps with Christmas.
Correct.
And in that neighborhood, there's so many children that are being raised by grandparents. So talk to us a little bit about some of the things you do for the children to make them feel so
We
excited.
Have a separate, that's one of our three pillars, is our Gifts from the Heart Christmas program. And this is basically a pop-up, if you'll have it, store that we have two locations, possibly a third, where individuals can come in and purchase toys for their children. It works with a couple other community partners in the area, and you'll have vouchers that come in, but then the parents can come in and get gifts that their children want, not something if you're into cars and you get Barbies, if you're into books and you get marbles. So they get to go in, choose what their children want, so when they go back to school, they got the same gifts that their co-students went with. So it's very helpful. The parents have a little bit of skin in the game because they also pay no more than 20 to 30% of retail. So it's set up like a true shopping experience, and then they get to shop, they help pay for it, they help know what exactly their children want.
Right. And Maggie, did you notice for Neighbor Up, their logo, it says hope inspired, community driven. And that speaks volumes, right? Just the way you all wrote that logo is so important because that's exactly what you do.
It is.
Right.
And that's another reason I encourage people to come to the tour, because once you are at that tour, you honestly see how this works together. You can see how it's all encompassing and everything is intertwined with everything else to create a wholesome, wonderful neighborhood.
Yeah. And let's talk about the one thing that people always talk about when they come on the show with nonprofit volunteers.
Yes.
So how can a person become a volunteer or a monthly donor?
You can go to our website, and then there are opportunities to become a volunteer. You can become a monthly donor. You can become a once donor. You can also go to the Gifts from the Heart, where we are collecting the new toys. So the best thing is to go to that website, and you will see a link at everywhere there.
Yeah. And so do you all have in the apartments there, do you have to be a family, a mother, father, a child, or can you be a single mom and a child, or like our guest was talking about, single dad? Tell us a little bit about the people who apply for the housing and how can one get into one of these houses.
There is a waiting list at the moment, but the rooms are set up. It is two heartbeats per room. And so if you are a single mother with three children, that would be two heartbeats per room if they're all girls. If there are sons, then the son would have to be in a different room by himself. So it is based on the heartbeats of the room.
Yeah. And there's so many organizations that does similar work here in Brevard. If a person had some money to give, what would you say to them that differentiate Neighbor Up from other nonprofits? And why because, you know, we all know people are hot up for time, energy, and money, right? And you want to make sure that when you buy that ticket or when you attend something, that it's going to the right place.
I was, previous to moving to Florida, in nonprofit fundraising for close to 15 years, and I see that Neighbor Up Brevard is an incredible steward of donations. They truly help the neighborhood. They do what they say, and your money will be put to use indefinitely.
Yeah. And you know, Maggie, one of the things that General Colin Powell said before he passed away, that all over the world, not just here in Brevard, but children need one thing, and it's guidance. And we see that so much, not just with the children who are coming, the youths, the young ones who are coming to Neighbor Up, but through all over our world. And do you see that there's like a lack of guidance just with parenting anymore?
That one's a little hard for me to speak to because I'm not a parent.
Yeah.
So I try to stay away from weighing in on parents. But I do think it is important to have guidance because I did at times in my life need additional guidance.
Right.
And it wasn't always parental. It came from other sources.
And that is a great place to volunteer because you don't have to be a parent. You could be a finance person. You could be a realtor. You could be in the military. So it is giving those experiences. So it wouldn't have to be as a parent. It could be as this is how you are going to grow up. These are some options are out there. This is how you can become a well-rounded individual.
So you encourage people from different backgrounds.
Exactly, yes.
Different faiths, mm-hmm. different services to come in and be part of the group there.
We have dancing. We have singing. We have karate. We have basketball. We have overall fitness. We have a music room. So it is letting families and kids know what is out there and giving those opportunities. So
and in order to transform these lives of these young ones, you have to. How does one get into a program? Is it a referral base or is it something from the schools, the social workers? How does one get into the program?
There are no stipulations to get into the program, and we do work with different feeder schools. We have Creole Elementary is one of our feeders, Agali High School, and then we also go out in the community and let everyone know about what we do have, what we have available. So it is through different organizations that we all refer each other. The Gifts from the Heart is something separate that you do need to work with a different community partner with that. But everything else, it is just by word of mouth and finding out everything that's available. You can come for a tour for yourself and see if it's something you'd be interested in. As far as the housing, it's referrals, and then you'll call in and we'll put you on a waiting list. Yeah.
And you know, who would have thought that Christmas would be here in 3 months?
I know.
Exactly.
That's why I was going to ask more questions about that, because
yeah.
Every kid looks forward to Christmas.
Yes.
So are the toys and the gifts, how can a person like myself contribute to Gifts from the Heart?
We will have several giving trees in different places. We call them angel trees, but it's similar to a giving tree. If you go to our website, you can actually go to the Gifts from the Heart location, and we have Amazon, Target, and Walmart wish lists. So you can go on there and purchase what our most needed gifts are. You can call us directly if you have something now. Sorensen Moving works with us, and they will store our toys year-round. So it is different availability, anything you would like to do. If you'd like to bring it to the dock, if you would like to just order online and have it delivered, there's many, many ways that you can purchase the toys. And then we also need a lot of volunteers to help work at those stores. We have cashiers, we have people stocking the shelves, and then we have people that like to wrap. So the parents leave, the gift is wrapped, it's ready to put under the tree.
What a beautiful program. Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. And what time of year does that take? I mean, obviously near Christmas, but
it is the weekend after Thanksgiving, and it lasts for a week at both the locations.
And how many children do you provide gifts for?
It just depends on the need and how many people in the community, how many different organizations that we work with. And so it's based on need of the community.
Yeah. And for our listeners who are listening, tuning in today to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with Jennifer Quartz. She is the development director for Neighbor Up here in Brevard. It is a hope-inspired, community-driven charity. And they meet every third Thursday of the month for a tour from 10 to 12 at 1145 Masterson Street in Melbourne, which is not far from where I live, but I work on Thursdays. I'll have to figure out how I could come one of these days.
1149?
Is it 1149?
Yes.
Yeah, 1149, yeah. And so you can drop in and explore the programs and see firsthand how they're transforming lives in the community. And one of the things that I like about Neighbor Up is you work with the residents and the community, and you all also partner up with businesses to make sure this is a long-term thing.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about some of the businesses you partner up with.
As far as...
There are people that come in to help, don't they?
Correct, yes.
From the business community.
Yes, we have.
And they also help sponsor events and things like that.
Correct. We have a lot of community sponsors for our two events, the soiree that you guys were at, and then also our Anchor Breakfast that's coming up in November. We have different corporations that come in and volunteer for a day, whether that is working with the children, the teens. We have people that come in and work on the grounds, whether it's power washing, working with gardens. So there's just various ways that the organizations and corporations in the U.S.
Yeah.
And Brevard County can get involved.
And Jennifer, tell our listeners a little bit, because you do development, that's a huge responsibility. What happens when people don't come forward to help donate for causes such as these? I mean, then you'll have to cut some of the programs and all things like that. So talk to our listeners a little bit about how important it is for people to actually open up their hearts and wallets and give back.
It is very important. It is imperative to keep the position growing. We have a lot of kids. We have a lot of families that live there. If we do not get the donations, then it is going to have to start cutting back a little bit. But the more that we have, the more we can provide. The more volunteers, the more we can work one-on-one with the kids and the families, the more we can do training. So it's very, very important to volunteer, to sponsor, to donate, to keep the neighborhood, the apartments, and the children thriving.
Right. And I know that recently you all broke ground on 8 additional apartments.
Yes.
And for our listeners who are tuning in, dear folks, these things just don't fall from the sky. It is from the goodness of the generosity of people like us in the community that helps.
Exactly.
So tell us about those apartments and how exciting. And I bet you already have a waiting list for that.
We have a waiting list. It was actually, I've been with the Neighbor Up Brevard for about 4 months. And it was on my third day that we broke ground. So it was an incredible celebration and welcome party that I got to be involved for the groundbreaking. And those will be 8 units, and they should be ready November to December-ish. And we have a waiting list, but we would love for anyone that is interested to come out and look at them, experience them. And then if you know someone or you would like to be on the waiting list, you can call Neighbor Up Brevard and we can work with you.
Yeah, and we've met Cindy McAllister and LaShonda McGee, and now we know you, Jennifer. And it's amazing that the safe environment that you all are providing for these school-age children in our community and giving them so much that if they do want to go to college, there's somebody to help them. If they want to join the military, there's someone to help them do that. Maggie's a flight attendant. Have you ever had a flight attendant come in to talk to the kids?
We have not, but I should say we have not yet.
I might know a few pilots, too.
Yeah,
that would be wonderful. That would be great.
Right. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, how can someone contact you all? Give us your website. How can we get more volunteers and a few dollars flowing to you guys? And maybe some people have some good items at home, clothing, shoes, books. Can you all take those things or not?
We can take books, but we do not have the clothing.
Yeah, because you probably don't have the storage space for
correct.
All of that.
That's and we correct. Do take the toys, need to be new toys that you donate. So, but we definitely use books with our children.
Yeah. So yes. New toys and books.
Yes.
And with the 1 minute that Danny, I feel like I talked to her forever.
I know.
Give us the website.
I have that effect on people.
So. You're doing really well. Yeah. I know you were worried, but that's what we tell people. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is fun, unscripted, educational, and it's very informative.
Thank you.
Because it's a conversation. So give us the website if you
can. It is neighborupbrevard.org. If you just go to www.neighborupbrevard, all one word, that brings you to our website, and then you can find out about all the different programs, the information, and how you can become involved.
Right.
And I do encourage you this Thursday to come for a tour.
That's right. And our friends, you know, with Neighbor Up, they take care of the entire community, and they encourage people to thrive spiritually, economically, socially, and it is faith-based. So you're getting a good bang for your buck when you donate your time, energy, effort, and a few bucks to them. Maggie, take it away.
All right. Well, it's been another awesome hour here at Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, speaking with John and then Jen. And have a great rest of your week, everyone. We'll be back next Monday.
Thank you.